We are gathered together as God's people to worship Him. This is a new way of doing things, one that is unfamiliar to me. As you know, last week was a trial. It worked. Hopefully this week will be a little better. However, I have already received notice that the way I am doing live streaming will no longer be available, that they have a new method. So I will have to learn that. Although I haven't completely learned this one, because I haven't learned how to post to both pages at one time. But before we begin our service, I would like to bring the light of Christ into our service for us. One thing I've learned through working through this process in my house is I need a new office chair. The office chair I have is not good. It is not comfortable. It does not move. So please bear with me, because I know I tend to wiggle a lot because of the uncomfortableness of it. Announcements for this week. As you know, the governor has issued a stay-at-home for 22 counties in Pennsylvania. They are also asking the other counties to observe that, which means that we do not go out into the public except as need be. We are not on an enforced stay at home, but the governor has requested that from all counties, even though it's mandatory for 22 counties. Please note that we will not be worshiping until further notice in our churches. All gatherings for worship and other non-essentials have been suspended. This is from our bishop, but it is also being closely monitored with the directives of Governor Wolf, the Pennsylvania Department of Health, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. So until we know anything further, we will not be worshiping in our churches. Please note, that means that will affect our Holy Week and Easter services. I will share a thought for Easter service at the end of this service. I do not know what will be happening yet for Holy Week. Pastor Eric and I are going to discuss that, since the four churches were to meet together. And so we are going to see if that is any possible possibility for us to be able to continue to be able to do that or not. So that information will be coming at a later date. If you know of anyone who does not have access to see the messages either live or as they are posted on our Facebook pages, who would like a hard copy of the sermon, please share that information with me and we will make sure a sermon gets mailed to them. I pray that you are doing your Bible readings with us. For those who are not familiar with that, we are reading through the Bible chronologically. This week we begin Joshua. So we begin that today, and it actually carries us through the next 7 days. So if you would like to read with us, it is three chapters a day. Judges maybe? Let me look. I don't want to mislead you. Judges. There are 21 chapters in Judges. And so we just finished Joshua today. We started in Judges. So if you'd like to follow with us, that will be three chapters a day for the next week. Please remember, even though we are not gathering together in our buildings, the expenses of the buildings do not stop. So as you are able, we would ask that you would continue to support your church. I am going to begin something new on Wednesday. Wednesday at 1 o'clock, I'm going to begin a children's story time. I will do it live as well on Facebook. I will post where I will do that from. And hopefully by Wednesday, maybe I can figure out how to integrate the two pages. But it will be posted on both pages that the children can hear the story after that time. But it will be live on Wednesdays at 1. Please know if there's anybody who needs prescriptions or groceries and does not have someone to be able to do those things for them, to let us know. And we will see that we can get that information or get those services for them. Please note, Village Pantry is delivering. And I believe Community Pharmacy delivers also. Okay, so let us begin our service. We are going to begin with Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? There is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is a great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. Let us open with a word of prayer. I had asked if anyone had prayer concerns to please share them with me. So at this time we will lift up the Hunter family, Emily, Dordetta. Please lift up our bishop and the cabinet and the churches and pastors, because the bishop and the cabinet has to meet through means of technology, which makes it very difficult for, choosing pastors for new appointments, but introducing those pastors to the churches that they will be serving. And so please keep all of them in your prayers. If you have not heard, General Conference has been canceled. I do not know a rescheduled date at this time, but please keep our Bishop of Councils and all of those who were to be part of General Conference in your prayers as well, allowing them to spend this extra time in prayer seeking God's will. So let us pray. Gracious God, we come from you from many varied places. Not sure of what is happening. Sometimes even in the house next door. What is happening in our communities? What is happening in our state and in our country? But Lord, we know that you are in control. And so as we stay confined to our homes, Lord, we just pray that you would be with us, that you would allow us to use this time to grow closer in our relationship to you. And Lord, if there is any who does not know you, that they would take this time to earnestly seek you, to dwell into your word and to ask that you would give them an understanding of who you are for them. Lord, I thank you for those who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and I pray that you be with all of us. That you would help us to see how it is that we can continue to be your hands and feet in times such as this. Lord, be with us in this time, opening our hearts and our minds to what you have for us this day. We thank you for the ability to gather together through this means when we are not able to gather together with one another. Lord, this helps to show us nothing can replace that human interaction, that human touch. So when this virus is over and we are once again free from the confines of our homes, we would remember to show your love through a touch, through holding the hand of another, through giving a hug of comfort, for sharing your love in some way that allows others to feel your presence with them. Lord, we thank you for that presence that is with us right now, that Holy Spirit presence that dwells among us and in us. And it is in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that we pray. Now may we pray together the prayer that Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespassers, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. And this is the New Revised Standard Version. I will give you a moment if you would like to follow along in your Bibles. Again, it's Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and the Lord and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. And he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your eyes and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." Our New Testament reading comes from the epistle letter to the Romans. Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 11. I will give you a moment to get to Romans chapter 8, 6 through 11. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, you are in the spirit, since the spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. We are in the season of Lent. I know it probably doesn't feel that way to many of you as we are not able to gather together. But Lent is a time when we normally try to concentrate upon our journey with Christ to the cross. One aspect of that journey is to look at where it is that we are dark, as we spoke about last week. And for those who may not have been with us last week, what that means is we become more and more aware of the sins that are in our life as we draw closer to God and allow His Holy Spirit to work in our lives. And we turn those sins over to Jesus. It's also more of a time to become aware of who God wants us to be, of how He wants us to be that light of Christ, and how He wants that light to shine through us. However, right now our concentration is on COVID-19. And what its possibilities are for us. And for many, what it does is it brings this fear to us, and it brings this fear of death. If we're honest, we know at some point in life all of us have to face that reality, correct? We all have to face the reality of death. So what do you think of when you think of death? I think most often we think of that physical death. We think of the pain and the hurt. We think of the time that it takes for us to heal from the grief that we are suffering from. And for some, that loss becomes so devastating to them that it paralyzes them as if they had died also. Right now, because of COVID-19, there is a restriction on public funeral services. I am sure that is difficult on those families who have lost loved ones. To not be able to gather and to comfort one another. And if you read the obituaries, you will see that most of them will have a service to be held at a later date. But at this time, in this moment, when that loved one is taken from them, they are grieving. They need that human touch of another. And right now, we are unable to provide that. So it not only is difficult for those who lose someone they love, it is difficult for those of us who want to reach out as well. But when we think of death, I would say that's most often how we think of death. We think of it as the loss of a person whom we love, or maybe just a person that we are acquainted with. But we think about the physical death. Their physical bodies are gone. But there is said to be other types of death as well. Divorce. Divorce is the death of a marriage. Maybe you have moved from one place to another, from one town to another town, or one state to another state, and saying goodbye to friends and all that is familiar to you is another type of death. And the reason these are called deaths is because they also bring us pain and grief. Nobody welcomes death in whatever form it affects us. But Paul tells us to set our mind on the flesh is death. But to set our mind on the Spirit is life. Life and peace. In verse 6 of our Romans reading today, the dualism of flesh and spirit is expressed in terms of death and life. Paul said to set the mind on as a way of speaking about a person's intentions. The mind is that part of ourself that wills and decides. Remember when God created us? God gave us the ability to think. God gave us the ability to make decisions. Oftentimes we try to blame our actions on others when they turn out to be the wrong actions. Just as Adam tried to blame eating the fruit on the woman who God gave him. But God created humanity with the ability to choose. You and I have that freedom. And I can tell you that there was a time, and some of you have probably already heard this, that I left the United Methodist Church. I left because I thought, you know what? They're wishy-washy. I had these friends from other denominations, and they would share with me how their pastor or their priest would tell them what it is that they were to think, how it is that they were to think. And so in my young mind, I thought, you know what? That's what I need. I need somebody to tell me what it is that I need to think, how it is that I am supposed to think. And so I began to go to other churches and I began to explore. But what I came to realize was that God is the one who will tell me. And that is the very purpose of God's Holy Spirit becoming part of us. When we confess our sin and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, God promised to send His Holy Spirit to be our helper, to be our advocate, to be our counselor, to be our comforter, to live in us and dwell with us. And so when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, what we are doing is dying to ourself so that we may live for Him. Paul reminds us of our new relationship with God when he says, "But you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through the Spirit that dwells in you." That Spirit, that new life that belongs to the believers of Jesus Christ. That power of new life is that same power that is present in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I once read, and I'm sorry I don't remember where I read this, but I read that the world can be divided into two kinds of people. Seems that That's how our world is right now. Those who divide the world into two kinds of people and those who do not. Paul actually falls into the former group. He sees two options in our lives. We can live in the flesh or we can live in the spirit. Even though we ended our reading this morning in the book of Romans at verse 11, if we would go on to continue to read, Paul says in verse 13a, the consequences of living in the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Now we know that he is not talking about an earthly death because we know that that is something each and every one of us will go through. We're all going to die. What Paul's talking about is a spiritual death. And I often wonder how often people give this a thought. How often do you think about your death here on earth? The fact that one day you're no longer going to exist. Do you think about what it is that may cause your death here on earth? You don't know how many times I've heard, and maybe you yourself have said this. I pray that I just go to sleep one night and never wake up. Do we focus on our spiritual death as much as we focus on our earthly death? Do we think about the fact that if we don't die to ourselves when we accept Jesus, we are alienating ourselves from God? That's what happens, my friends. And when we are alienated from God, we are more likely to be self-centered rather than self-giving. Scripture tells us that pride and idolatry are sins. Do we recognize our self-centeredness as either pride or idolatry? Because that's what it is. Pride, putting ourselves above others, and idolatry is putting ourselves above God. I'm pretty sure, most certain, all of us would say, don't do that. But with confidence, I can say, we do. There are times we do. Maybe not intentionally. Maybe not on purpose, but this is where we see the flesh being lived out in our lives. There are times that you and I are not mindful of the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives to guide us, to direct us, to be our helper, our advocate, our counselor, our comforter. We tend to live in the world that is around us. And we live in a world where it's a me society first. But that's not what the gospel calls us to. The gospel calls us to be a together society. One of the hallmarks of living in the Spirit is to be selfless, not selfish. Right now in our country, in fact in our own community, we can see the lack of people living in the Spirit. And you may say, how do we see that? Well, we can see it in the greed and how it has taken over and people going out and buying and hoarding food and paper products in bulk instead of thinking, what is it that I need for my immediate needs? And what is it that others need? Am I making sure that I am not taking more than what I need so that there is something for someone else? See, we are to help care for everyone. In Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, he shares that love is the greatest spiritual gift we can have. He tells us that it is even greater than faith and hope. Living in the Spirit is expressed in humble, self-giving love. Now, that's not to say that we're to discount faith and hope, because we surely aren't. But another consequence of spiritual death is hopelessness. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever felt hopeless in your life? What a horrible feeling that is. A horrible feeling when we lack hope. That horrible feeling like we are lost. That somehow we can't see our future. Can't see any future. We lack motivation. We lack energy. If you have ever been hopeless, it's as if that hopelessness just sucks the very life out of you. But when God's Holy Spirit dwells in us, we have hope. It allows us to see that there is a future beyond the trial and the tribulation that we are going through. To live with hope means to live in the Spirit and to be alive with hope for now and forevermore. So those who may be feeling that hopelessness as they are confined to their homes or maybe have been affected by the COVID-19 virus, someone in their family contracting it, themselves, if even a mild form, and they feel hopeless. Know that Christ came to give you hope, that you may have that hope forevermore. Having that hope doesn't mean that we're not going to have struggles. Paul had struggles, remember? The apostles had struggles. Paul said, I do the very thing I don't want to do, and I don't do the thing that I do want to do. Doesn't that happen to us as well? It does. And the reason being is there is a spiritual warfare going on inside of us. An inner conflict that seems at times to tear us apart and leave us feeling bad about ourselves and sometimes even about our life. But when we are living in the Spirit, we can have peace. That peace comes to us when we listen to the Holy Spirit. See, we have to be open and listen to the Holy Spirit. Remember, going back to the beginning of my sermon, we have been given the ability to think and to choose and to decide. We have to choose to listen. We have to choose to read God's Word. We have to choose to spend time in prayer with Him. And when we seek God's will for our lives, and we listen and do that will, make that choice to follow that will, that peace will come to us. Because we are in a season of Lent, but unable to be together, I would like us to be more aware of how God's Holy Spirit helps us in our day-to-day lives. I would like us to be more aware of the Holy Spirit helping us as we read Scripture together. Or as you read other Scriptures, pray for God's Holy Spirit to reveal to you what it is He has for you in those readings. Pray that God's Holy Spirit will allow you to feel connected to others, especially those who are reading the same scriptures that you are daily. I pray that we will be more diligent and choose to be aware of God's Holy Spirit speaking to us as we spend time in prayer. Remember, because of Jesus' death and resurrection, you and I are able to be filled with the Holy Spirit, which helps to set our minds on things above and not on the things of this earth. allowing our faith to grow and move us away from spiritual death to spiritual life. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are in that season of Lent, a time when you have called us to follow Jesus to the cross. Right now, you have confined us to our homes through the words of our leaders. May we make the most of this time to grow in our relationship with you. May we read your word. May we spend time in prayer. May we seek your will and how it is that you are calling us to continue to be your hands and feet, even in the midst of a virus that is attacking the world. Let us heed the warnings given to us by the medical experts, but also let us heed your words. Let us obey what you are calling us to in a time such as this. We thank you for Jesus, the one who died and rose again for each of us. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen. I would ask that if you are familiar with the Apostles' Creed, that you would unite with me now in this confession of our Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I had said at the beginning of the service I would talk more about Easter. This is what I would like us to see. Again, Pastor Eric and I are working on trying to have something put together for Holy Week. We do not have anything as of this time, but that is something we will work on this week to see what decisions are made concerning Holy Week. But what I would like to do Easter morning, and I'm going to ask if you would like to volunteer to do this, to please get in touch with me. What I'd like us to do is a prayer walk through our communities, that people would commit to at least one block, more if you would like. I would like us, if possible, to get Easter eggs, to make a label that says that we are praying for them. And then as we go through our prayer walk, that, like, if you take one block, you would stop at every house and you would say a prayer for that house. And you would leave them an egg, letting them know that they are being prayed for. If we are unable to do the eggs, I would still like us to do the prayers, to be able to go from house to house and pray. I would like us to do that in pairs, that maybe one person could be on one side of the street and another person could be on the other side. Maybe you'd like to do it on the block in which you live. So if you could contact me by text or message on Facebook or call the office and leave a message, or however you can best get in touch with me, to let me know that that is something you would be interested in doing. Since we are unable to gather together, I think we are being called to go out. And that is one way for us to go out and share Christ with our community. to go out in prayer. So now as we close, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Go, my friends, in peace, remembering that God is with us. Even in the midst of this virus, he has promised to never leave us or forsake us. God bless you.